One of the things that many of us struggle against in our efforts to advance the cause of biblical counseling is fighting the caricatures of biblical counseling. You know, a caricature is a picture or it's a drawing that somehow suggests a building or a person or something. And a caricature of a biblical counselor is a mental image that many people have of biblical counselors. For example, I've encountered on several occasions, or let me just ask you this. How many of you have encountered somebody who has communicated that they understand that nuthetic counselors are people that go around beating people over the head with their Bible telling people to quit their sinning? All right? Yeah, that's a caricature. I don't know any biblical counselor, anybody certified with NANC that does that, but that's the perception that's out there. Others think, when they think of biblical counseling or nuthetic counseling or NANC, they would think of people that just are convinced that everybody's problems is just due to their sin. And if they just quit their sinning, we think their life would be perfect. And again, I don't know anybody associated with biblical counseling or associated with NANC that believes that. I mean, we believe that we all have sin-cursed bodies and we're just dust going back to dust. That can create some problems for you in life. We do believe that we live in a sin-cursed world, and living in a sin-cursed world can cause difficulties for us in life. And we believe that we are surrounded by sinners who sin, and we can be sinned against. We can experience suffering that is the result of sinful conduct on the part of other people that affects our life and our conduct. But we also believe, don't we, that it's possible for us to reap the fruit of our own sin, and that can impact us. So we don't think that if everybody would just quit their sinning, their life would be perfect. That's not true. I mean, that is a caricature that is grossly inaccurate. Well, one of the things that many of us struggle with as we think about being effective in life and ministry is how do you balance? How do you achieve this matter of balance? And in particularly in this session, I'm going to talk to you about the balance between grace and truth, or between kindness and truth. We want to be nice to people. We want to communicate the love and the compassion of Christ. And yet, we also want to be men and women of conviction who believe something and who hold to the truth dearly, and if necessary, who contend for the truth. And so this struggle for balance is a significant issue. I remember years ago in the job I had before coming to work for NANC, I was the state representative for our Fellowship of Churches. And at one of our conferences, I had invited Dr. Warren Wiersbe to be our speaker. And I remember in our Q&A time with a bunch of us pastors in the room and everything, someone asked him a question about balance in life and ministry and so forth. And I remember his answer, as only he could put it. He said, "Balance is that ethereal point that we all pass through occasionally on our way to another extreme." That's a good answer, isn't it? The whole issue of balance, it's just, you know, probably just when we think we've achieved it, you know, we probably haven't. Well, in my own struggle to deal with this matter of balance in life and ministry and balance in speaking the truth, but speaking it lovingly, here's a passage of Scripture that has become very meaningful to me and that I hope will challenge you. Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4 says, "Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man." With that passage as a text, let me suggest that Proverbs 3, 3, and 4 mentions three activities that contribute to long-term effectiveness for biblical counselors. And with all that you're hearing and experiencing this week, I trust that this will be a good word for all of us. First of all, the Scripture is encouraging us to guard some things carefully. Guard some things carefully. In Proverbs chapter 3, Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, apart from Jesus Christ, is writing, and he's having a particular appeal to his sons, and he's talking to them about life and the issues of life, and he's saying to his sons, "Do not let kindness and truth leave you." And I want to exhort you as biblical counselors, Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Now, kindness is unmerited favor. Kindness is unmerited favor. It's grace. It's being others-oriented. Kindness means being benevolent or helpful or considerate. It's being others-oriented. Truth, on the other hand, is accuracy. It's accuracy in belief. Truth is accuracy in communication. Truth is accuracy in conduct. That is, we practice what we preach. We don't just talk the talk, we walk the walk of the Christian life. And so Solomon, in Proverbs 3 and through this scripture, is appealing to you and me, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Now, this is where the struggle for balance comes. These two qualities were to be combined, were combined in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 says that Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. That's a significant statement. He was full of grace and truth. And he is to be our model. And the challenge is, for most of us, is keeping these two in balance. You see, truth-oriented Christians, we're all probably bent toward one of these or the other by nature or by personality. Some of us are bent toward being truth-oriented Christians. Truth-oriented Christians love studying the scripture and theology, but sometimes truth-oriented Christians have a tendency, because of all the truth they know, when you know so much that's right, it makes it easy for you to see what is wrong. And sometimes truth-oriented Christians who love studying the scriptures and theology sometimes are quick to judge and we're slow to forgive. There's a tendency to be strong on truth but weak on kindness. Some of us have come from theological traditions where, you know, we're kind of known for that. I came from a particular Baptist background where, you know, we were known as fundamentalist. And originally that was a good word. It meant that we focused on the fundamentals of the faith, not the denominational distinctives, but the key doctrines of the Christian faith, the deity of Christ, inspiration of Scripture, the literal death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and the reality of heaven, reality of hell. I mean, the basic doctrine, things that make Christianity Christian, you see? But the way some people held that, people came to be known as fighting fundamentalists. And now, when people are sometimes wanting to identify themselves, some people will say, well, I'm a fundamentalist, but I'm not mad about it, you know? Well, just the fact that they say that is an indication they're trying to deal with a caricature that has been generated by some in the past who did not hold the truth gracefully. And there are some even now that would disdain of even identifying themselves as a fundamentalist because it has fallen into such disrepute, not only here in America, but also because, I think now, because of the association with Islamic fundamentalists. You know, it's just the word has been tainted, not just by our behavior, but by the way it's used internationally. So truth-oriented Christians have this tendency to love the truth, love the theology, but if we're not careful, our commitment to that will take us to an extreme where we'll be neglecting kindness. However, there are some of us who, by personality, maybe by the work of God in our heart, we're very, very kind. And kindness-oriented Christians love forgiveness. And they love freedom in Christ. But in their tendency to love people and to be nice to people, there's sometimes a tendency to neglect Bible study and to view moral standards as legalism or use some other pejorative term. They tend to be strong on grace but weak on truth. And that, following that, will lead to imbalance to where we won't say to people what needs to be said, because sometimes in biblical counseling, we need to say hard things. Things that sometimes are hard for us to say, in part because we know it's going to be hard for them to receive it. But biblical love, in reality, is going to motivate us. Genuine kindness is going to motivate us to do that. But the tendency to view kindness as not doing anything that would upset people. God wants these two characteristics combined in your life.